The question was asked if we would think that when Ben Yehuda decided how we should pronounce Hebrew, he had Ruach HaKodesh. So first we have to understand what is Ruach HaKodesh. We have a Braisa, we have a Tanakh quote in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, page 20b, Chaf Amud Beis. And it quotes Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, that he says, the order of how one grows. If one delves in Torah and understands and performs the Torah, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair says, that will bring him to Zihirut, to having the caution he should have. Zihirut, that when he comes across sin, he has the caution not to transgress, will lead him to Zirizut, to be swift, to do things with alacrity, and he'll be swift to ensure he doesn't even come to a point where he has to be careful from sin. Notice step one is Torah. Without Torah, you don't know what sin is. You don't know what right and wrong is. So Torah gives us the guidelines, and the Torah is supposed to lead us to developing our traits to the point of Zihirut, to being careful not to sin, and from Zihirut we come to Zirizut, which keeps us on our toes, so we don't even need the Zihirut, meaning we're a step further from sin. And that brings us to Nikiyut, to a level of cleanliness. Cleanliness meaning he has no sin, because he's not even coming close to sin. And Nikiyut brings a person to Pirishut. Pirishut is where a person says, I want to separate myself from anything that's even close to sin, even things that are permissible. He says, I'm going to distance myself from them. And Prishut, that level of distancing oneself from that which is even permissible, brings a person to Tahara, to a level of purity that's even better than cleanliness of sin. It's a higher level of purity. And that brings a person to holiness, which brings a person to modesty, which brings a person to true fear of sin. Notice until now he didn't have true fear of sin. He's been doing all this, but there isn't a true fear of sin. Like someone asked, we had a class earlier today, and one of the people said, you know, part of tshuva is regretting what you did wrong. But that's like this gray area. You regret it and you don't regret it. Like that leads us to yirat chet. And then yirat chet will lead us, says the Gemara, that leads us to here we have that leads us to Yirat Chet, the Gemara says, brings a person to Kedusha, to holiness, and Kedusha brings a person to Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh means that God's Spirit rests upon him. Thank you, Yonatan. And Ruach HaKodesh is one step before Tchiyat HaMetim, the resurrection of the dead. So, if Ben Yehuda was a person who wasn't observant, and that's putting it mildly, he didn't go up any of these steps. Ruach HaKodesh is like a level of prophecy. It's after a person has fixed his traits to such an extent that he's fit to have God rest upon him and give him this level of understanding. So on the surface, we would say no. But then we have to open up Maimonides. And Maimonides tells us something which we probably could have figured out without him. And that is that there seem to be exceptions to the rule. Look, Avimelech had prophetic dreams, right? Lavan has prophetic dreams. So you see that there is a concept in the Torah that people who have not worked their way up here, Pharaoh, God appears to him and tells him, let go of that woman you've abducted, let go of Sarah, right? So we see that people can attain levels of prophecy when necessary, even though they haven't worked their way up. So if you wanted to say that maybe God wanted that we should all come back to talking Hebrew, and Ben Yehuda was the one who led the way, you could say that, but I don't know why we would want to think that we understand God's way of working the world. We don't know. So long as you don't come to practical conclusions like that everyone has to adopt Ben Yehuda's way of speech. So long as you don't come to any practical conclusions, if there's no practical difference, you want to believe Ben Yehuda was a tool that God used to do something positive in the world, good for you. If you get the whole picture of what Ben Yehuda was saying and doing and his approach, his philosophy was not in line with the Torah, putting it mildly. And Rav Kook had some very harsh words to say about Ben Yehuda as well. So it's not just a one side of the spectrum that views him this way. Anyone who knew what he stood for didn't hold him in such great esteem. He was at the forefront of a revolution, really, of returning people, returning the masses to talking Hebrew, and that is to his credit. You can't take that away from him. But to ascribe Ruach HaKodesh, that God's Spirit was with him, I would shy away from that. But again, I wouldn't argue with someone who said it. I wouldn't agree with him, but I wouldn't bother arguing so long as it doesn't have any practical ramifications. Oh, so now you're saying differently. That leads us to a really complicated question. Technically, we do say that Am Yisrael is guided by God's hand. Meaning, we give great weight to what the Jewish people as a whole have adopted. And technically, the fact that the Jewish people as the masses have adopted his way of pronunciation does give it certain halachic weight. That's true. To go from there and to say he had Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know. But if that's what you mean to say, so that's really something that requires a lot of work. Because technically, if you look at the dry halacha, his way of pronouncing Hebrew is problematic. Because it doesn't go in line with any tradition. It goes with his what he concocted, what he thought was right, taken from different traditions, which is very nice, but it has nothing to do with halacha. And then suddenly we're faced with a generation where that's the way everyone's talking. That's the way the average shul is davening. If we were running the show based upon our understanding, we would say, stop, don't do that. But that's not what's happening. The masses adopted it. And now, bottom line, that's the way everyone's talking. And I see, even with my son, he's learning in a cheder where they pronounce Ashkenazis, right? I don't know if you guys noticed, those of you who were at the seder, every time I quoted Psukim to him, I went over to Ashkenazis so that he'd understand what I was quoting. But he wouldn't associate it with what he learned. So if we're learning about the covenant, the Bris Bein Absarim, so I have to tell him, Yodoya Teida Ki Ger Yeyez Aracha Be'eretz Lo Elohim. Because if I say, Yadoa Teida Ki Ger Yeyez Aracha Be'eretz Lo Elohim, he's going to look at me like, where does it say that? He learned it, but he learned it with that pronunciation. And when sometimes I'll tell him the Brit Ben Abtarim, so he doesn't know what I'm talking about. And if I say Bris Ben Absarim, then he does. On the other hand, when he's learning, he has to translate to the spoken Hebrew. He has it rough both ways. Even the people like my son, who are learning with the Ashkenazi pronunciation, being that they're living in a society where that's not the spoken language, we're not doing what Rav Kook did. We're not talking that way. Our Hebrew is very like Ben Yehuda's, right? So that makes it harder. Like some people say, if I'm going to start davening with Ashkenazi pronunciation, I'm not going to have any kavanah. I'm not going to have intent. Because then it's a mock, really. It's like I'm playing a game. I'm adopting a pronunciation which doesn't mean anything to me. So we have a problem today. We have a problem. And take someone with big shoulders to say what you've said, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone with big shoulders said it. I'm looking for someone to say it. Meaning my logic goes with what you're saying. That today that pronunciation will have great halachic validity because it's been adopted by the masses. But even that decision is something which someone has to come to. Someone, one of the giants of the Jewish people, has to come out and say that. You know, just because our generation is this way, you know, it takes a certain certain weight of halachic authority and a certain amount of time has to pass, and someone big has to decide that it really is granted that validity. My logic says like you, but I'd like to see it written, and I haven't yet. It might be, you know, there's a lot to see out there. But, I definitely hear that line of reasoning 100%. Yeah. You guys follow what he was saying? Yeah.
Rav Gundry said that Rav Abiner asked him that, should daven according to your ancestral heritage, according to the Ashkenazi, you should daven Ashkenazi, but if it's